Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host Lily Bensebor and joining me on the sofa is Sir Gwenton Slowly. I'm going to call you Sir, right? Great. He's a government trainer, no, he's a government advisor supporting vulnerable young people to stay out of trouble and to lead a straight and narrow life.
Yeah.
Gwenton, or shall I call you Q? I've been reading your book.
That's good.
Sorry, That's is it good. Q or Gwenton?
No, it was, a lot of people couldn't get my name right, so they thought my name was Quentin, Quinton and everything else. So in the end, people just started calling me Q for short. Even some of my family still call me that up to today because it's easier.
Yeah, I like Gwenton, so we'll stay with Gwenton. So thanks for coming to tea. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit about the brand named Gwenton Slowly. Gwenton is a combination between your mum and your dad's name, right?
Yeah, my mother's name was Gwendolyn and my dad's name's Carlton, so I got the first half of my mum's name and the last half of my dad's name.
Okay, Mrs. Slowly has worked in the housing sector as a specialist in relation to housing ex-offenders, vulnerable young people and their families for over 10 years. He's made a point of remaining rooted in the communities he serves. His creative side as an author has added value to his professional practice, as this has allowed him to take some of the most toxic social policy issues and wrap them up in a narrative that connects with those in the greatest need. His books, especially From the Streets to Scotland Yard, regularly does the rounds in young offenders institutes such as Feltham and Belmarsh. Parents, teachers and those working with young people in prisons also use his literature in their workshops, presentations and one-to-one work. Tea with Lily is a social enterprise arm of Lynx Media. It's a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life come in and have a chat and give us tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. The aim of the program is to give your brand a voice. So, Mrs. Slowly, you've had a rather unorthodox life for one so young, having started your life from Jamaica and probably nearly ending it on the streets of Stoke Newington. Tell us a bit about that journey.
Yeah, it was a change of dynamics moving from Jamaica to England. The whole setup and culture was totally different. No one prepared me for what I was coming to see in this country.
Right.
To the simplest of things of what is an apple. Even the TV programs was totally different. So it was about how do you adjust without sticking out. And then
yeah.
I ended up gravitating to people that were actually getting themselves in trouble because that was the easiest way to fit in.
Yeah, okay. So you've worked with the likes of the Home Office, Scotland Yard and et cetera, and you are indeed sought after. Is this something that you thought you'd ever do?
No, when I came out of prison, I thought, even going back further than that, when I was in school, I was just happy to end up like my dad, being a foreman on a construction site.
Okay.
So that was my aspiration, to leave school and then start running major construction companies. So for me to end up where I am today was something that never crossed my mind at all.
So people from, you know, we've talked about the Home Office, Scotland Yard, some of the bigger councils look to you to provide answers to some of their social problems.
I am like the bridge between the community and local authority and the Home Office and the Met Police, where over the years the trust has been broken with the community and other government bodies. So it's how do you then build that bridge for everyone to communicate and get their voice across. At the same time, make sure that people in the community get what they're entitled to within holding your integrity and your respect without breaking the rules or confidentiality. So that's why I think I've been so much in demand. There's not many people like me coming from where I've come from to end up where I've ended up today, because a lot of people can't see beyond that barrier of, oh yeah, they're the police, or oh yeah, they're the government or they're the council people. It's always them or us.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that. I've seen you perform. You're the consummate orator, and you know, you have a really, really good way with people, especially young people. What's the secret?
It's about being yourself. Mm-hmm. And if someone sees you 3 years down the line, they're not meant to think, oh, he's changed or he's become someone else. People that knew me from even when I was on the streets, I'm the same guy now.
Yeah.
That I am. There's nothing that is going to faze me or make me feel like I'm beyond or better than anyone else. Everyone's the same, everyone's equal. So
yeah,
I'm who I am and I'm not going to change for no one.
I think, you know, the idea that we're all equal is something that certainly from my growing up was instilled in me. There's nobody that was more important than me, and I wasn't more important than anybody just because, you know, I mean, that person may have had a few more breaks or I've had a few more breaks. I was just told that everybody was equal, and firstly, don't be scared of anybody and don't make anybody feel worse than they really should do. And that's been my background. I can imagine that's probably the same for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, but it's about confidence. Are you hungry? And how much work do you put in? A lot of people want stuff, but they're not putting in the work.
Yeah.
And if you put in the work, you still don't get nothing out of it, then you have to change the formula. But it's not about complaining or finding excuses why things haven't worked. Maybe what you're doing isn't for you.
Yeah. Okay. You studied law a little bit and have won awards, you know, with various organisations such as the George Orwell Prize in 2012. You've been, you know, cover of magazines or, you know, newspapers. How have these made you feel, these achievements?
To be honest, there's some of them that will stand out and others just come as part of the package. The George Orwell Prize panel, for me as a up-and-coming author at the time, was a big achievement, where this is a man that's been dead for so many years and he's still the best-selling author of the 20th century. To me, to be receiving a prize from that panel was a major achievement for me, where the people that I was up against were professors and doctorates in this and whatever in that. So to win against them was a major achievement at the time for me.
Okay. I think perhaps, and I have read your book, you spoke from the heart, and I'm sure professors, and whatever, no disrespect to them, may not always feel that they can be that open in whatever they're doing. So perhaps that was the difference. This is Tea with Lily. I'm here with Gwenton Slowly, Sir Gwenton. That's my pet name for him. Whose work is about using his own tough life experience and creativity to shape government policy. This invariably helps those caught up in gang culture as well as those at risk. His mantra is to surround yourself with positive people. So Gwenton Slowly, let's go a little bit more into what your typical work day or typical work week would be like.
Well, work will start depending on what's happened over the weekend. Let's say 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. Enter the office. From the minute you walk in the office, you'll know if it's been a busy weekend, because you'll see people flying up and down the corridor.
What does busy weekend mean?
Busy weekend means we've had a few machete incidents where people have been chopped with machetes. Either someone's been shot. Worst case scenario, we've had a murder. So there's going to be some investigation. Was there everything done to save this young person or protect this young person? So now everyone's panicking to make sure that their paperwork's up to date. Who was meant to visit this young person's done it. Everyone's ticked the box. So you feel the tension from you walking the office. If it's a relaxed atmosphere, it's like every other day where it's chaos, but it's controlled chaos. And when I say controlled chaos, we might have to go up to the hospital to visit a few people that's been injured over the weekend. Someone might have been stabbed, but that's a regular day for us. We might have to move a family to another part of the country. We now have to speak to the council and local authorities to let them know that person or that family is coming. You have to do a risk assessment on that area. Is there any perpetrators living in that area? Because a lot of people get confused about victim and perpetrators. There's the same difference. where 9 out of 10 victims were perpetrators and 9 out of 10 perpetrators were victims before.
Yeah.
So it's one and the same thing. So it's about keeping that person safe, making them understand that we're doing it to keep them safe.
And you have to tease out all those things, or your team?
Well, 9 out of 10 times it's me and either a police officer or someone from the local authority that go out and do the visit. If it's after hours, I will do the visit by myself. A lot of people do this 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I am beyond the 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So I don't mind working till 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. It's not a problem for me. And not only that, some of the best work you do is after 5, because people could see that you're not just doing it within work hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of these things probably do happen after
they
work.
They do happen after work.
So give me an example of your typical client.
Typical client, young person, family background not too stable, dad's probably in and out of prison, or mom's got mental health issues, or could even be a good family, but the young person wants some excitement, because that's the flip side of it. A lot of people think that a lot of these kids come from broken homes. A lot of them come from working class parents, but they just want a bit of the excitement. So we've got a young person messing about in school, gets kicked out of school, ends up in a people referral unit.
Yeah.
When they're in the people referral unit, they're mixing with like-minded young people, some of them way advanced. And the ones that are way advanced then influence the ones that are just being a little bit naughty.
Yeah.
Next thing, they've been put on a reduced timetable. So they might turn up at the people referral unit for a few hours a week. So that's a typical day in the life of doing the work that I do. Is that young person then going to return because they've got no social life skills? A lot of these young people have never even made toes for themselves.
Yeah.
So although they might present as gangsters on the outside, they've got no social life skills. They have never lived by themselves. Also, if they're under 18, they will have to get taken into care. It's to get the children's social care to sign it off. We come back to it again, everything's money. Are they gonna think that the young person's at high risk to pay the money for that? If not, the young person's under 18, can't hold a tenancy by himself or herself. You then have to get a family member to then step in. So it's very complicated.
You said something about not all the kids come from bad homes.
No.
Some kids come from good homes, and that can happen to any child looking for could be led astray.
And it's not only led astray. Sometimes a lot of these young people that I'm working with are the last set of children within the house. So there's a total disconnect from the parents to this young person. Because all the other siblings have gone to university, they've caused no trouble. This young person's come and just causing absolute mayhem in the house. The family don't understand this.
Yeah.
They've come from another country to better themselves. They don't understand this lifestyle that this young person's bringing in the house.
Mm.
But it's about part of youth culture, that young person's being influenced by people outside. So that's a part of the struggle that we have with some of the parents. They're just so disconnected with their young people or their children that it's far gone by the time it comes to me.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah, I know about young children and having a disconnect with them. So your typical client in need would be a young person, sort of how old and what sort of circumstances do you think that you can help them the most?
Clients will be like from about 13 to 25.
Wow.
I have had 9-year-olds in primary school, which I've had to go in to see.
You wear several hats.
Yeah.
As a government advisor, as a trainer, as an entrepreneur. I like that word, entrepreneur. Which one is your favorite thing to do?
It's funny you say that, because I don't really like the word entrepreneur.
Why not?
Yeah,
let's talk about that. Yeah, why not?
The reason why I don't really like that word entrepreneur, it's like the word author. I would not go and say to someone I'm an author or entrepreneur.
But you are.
I accept it and I receive it with kindness, but at the same time I wouldn't go around and say I'm any of those two things. And the reason being for that is, to be an author, you have to have something tangible to put out there. We've got a lot of people now, because this this self-published system is so easy, where they get up and they scribble a few things down on paper and make some noise on social media, they then think they're an author. If your product that you're putting out there cannot stand the length of time, apart from the little moment of fire that you get, that's not work.
Okay, so that's not being an author.
That, to me, that's not work. You can't have a burn of the moment, or you've jumped on the bandwagon to put something out there in a rush, and then in the next 5-6 years it's not relevant. To me, that's nonsense. Author's work should be relevant for the next 100 years or years to come, for the next generation to be able to pick it up and say, you know what, this is good work. And that's why I started feeling, no, I'm not going to go around telling people I'm an author. However, may I interject?
Yeah. I have read your book, yeah, and it's great quality. No. It had me gripped. I wanted to know how this person gelled.
No, I understand that, but it's bad to say, but I've always seen myself as an opportunist. And the reason why I rather looked at it as an opportunist, where I will do whatever it is to empower other people, whether it is write books, do movies or whatever. But I wouldn't want to be labelled as, oh yeah, he's a movie director, or he's an actor, or he's an author, or if I start singing pop songs tomorrow, I'm now a pop star. I'm none of the above. And we come back to the whole entrepreneurial side. A lot of people don't even understand what the word entrepreneur means. And you have to be self-sufficient if you're an entrepreneur. You can't be a struggling entrepreneur because it sounds good.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Everyone's an entrepreneur now because it sounds good. It's like before, I used to put up, oh, I'm a trainer. And then everyone started saying they're a trainer. Then the next thing, everyone became a life coach. And it was that trend, you're a life coach.
So right? What's the latest trendy thing then? Is that the entrepreneur?
Yeah, the entrepreneur has been in for a while. It's bypassed a lot of phases, where we've had the life coach, we've had I'm going to save your world people. And then that phase burns out and everyone always comes back to being an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur's not going to stand up and tell you they're an entrepreneur.
Okay, so which one of the three? Government advisor, trainer, or entrepreneur?
I'll rather stick with the government advisor, to be honest, because that could be a global responsibility. So I'll rather stick with that. I feel more empowered when people say to me, oh yeah, you're a government advisor, because they don't even understand what that means. I don't have to explain it to them.
Explain, please.
Yeah? Because it's your government advisor. All they're thinking of is, oh, government. They're not understanding the lengths of what that means. There's no report that goes out to do with young people that I'm not involved in.
Okay.
All these steering groups and think tanks that they have, I have some hand in that.
Great.
Even though you might not see my name on certain things because it's a conflict of interest, because that's what I do. I will go to other countries and sit down with other governments and have talks with them about whether it's agriculture or the gang violence within the country. Mm. So I'm proud of that, because that's something unique, if you understand what I'm saying now. It's not where you've got another 6 people saying they're government advisors, because you won't even get in the door to become a government advisor. You couldn't even explain to someone the work that you do to.
So how can I be a government advisor?
Well, you have to be able to present yourself to be unique to everyone else and have a.
Help to find your niche.
Yeah, find your niche that's going to help the country and taxpayers. That's what they want.
Okay, I'm going to do something about it now. Now, you're working,
yeah.
You get your call, your weekend is completely changed.
Yeah.
What do you do to relax?
Simple things. You take the kids to the park. I enjoy my family. That's what I do to relax, because it's about, sometimes you have to remember, I'm blessed to be here.
Yeah.
So it's them little things. I might take myself to a restaurant and sit there and eat by myself and You understand what I'm saying? You know,
do people look at you and think, oh, God, he hasn't got any friends?
Yeah, some people look at me, but they wouldn't understand why I'm in there. It's my own personal statement. And
do you know, it's true. Sometimes you think, I don't want to eat at home.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. But I you know, my will probably not go to a restaurant, but go and sit in Starbucks by myself.
Yeah.
Heaven. Because there are no kids, there's nobody needing me, there's nothing. So for me, that's my time. So I get that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in a public space by yourself. But society actually makes us feel that we must have a plus one all the time. What do you think of that?
I totally agree with that. And it's about taking yourself out of your comfort zone sometimes. Go to an area where people wouldn't expect to see you there.
Mm. Yeah.
They might not think you could afford that meal.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they might not think you understand what's on the menu.
Especially if it's in French.
Yeah, so it's simple things like that. It's about how do you take yourself out of the comfort zone and be able to survive. A lot of people, as you said, don't know how to do anything without a plus one.
Yeah.
How do you go to another country and survive in another country like it's where you live?
Mm, yeah, okay. And what about sporting activity?
To be honest, I haven't really got the time to do all that. The most I get to do is go swimming every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, but outside of that, nah.
Too busy saving London.
Yeah, and not only that,
on the streets of London.
Yeah, not only that, to be honest, I'm not really this guy that goes to the gym and all the rest of the stuff. It's just not my thing.
Oh.
Yeah, not my thing. I will say I'm going to go, but then...
So you were just born gorgeous, yeah?
Well, yeah, you could say that. Thanks to my parents.
Oh, thanks to your parents. That's great. Most of us support charities, Quentin. Which charity do you support and why?
This is another subject that, to be honest, unless I could see it, feel it and touch it, I don't believe in charity.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't believe in charity is... A lot of these people that set up charities, they're living better than the people that they're meant to be looking after. And when we look at the whole way that we've been manipulated to donate a pound to this and donate a pound to that, that's been happening from before I was born. But you can't show me a village that's been saved from all their millions. I don't really believe in charity. I've got enough family and close people around me suffering that I could help out. If there's a young person or elderly person as well, because we must not ever exclude the elderly people. If I have a neighbour that has no family and needs some support, then I will help them.
So that's where you channel your charitable
stuff. That's my charity.
Things people that you can feel.
That
like
I
people,
can feel and see. I'm not going to donate not even a penny to anything that I can't see, because that could have gone to someone else.
Okay, or consultants fees.
Yeah.
Okay, I've read, like I've said, alluded, many times, I mean, in your book, From the Streets to Scotland Yard, in places it was very scary. I thought, oh my God, but he's still alive. You know, the places are really, really funny too. And the bit by your mum really touched me.
Yeah.
It's really, really sad. I mean, so you've been there. What's next for you? What's next for Sir Quentin Slowly? If I had my way, I'd give you a knighthood. But I don't. Maybe you can come to Ghana, and I can ask if you can get a knighthood from Ghana.
Yeah, well, if they'll give me one in Ghana, I'll come. As they say, every Jamaican's a Ghanaian, so I'll receive that with pleasure.
Actually, I can see some traits there from the Ashanti Kingdom.
Yeah, that's I watched a documentary with a director that I worked with when he was nominated for a BAFTA called Paul Blake. And he'd done a documentary of the runner Michael Johnson for America.
Okay.
And Michael Johnson retraced his roots back to Jamaica, and only then we found out that a lot of the Jamaicans came from Ghana.
Mm.
So they were the last people on the boat.
From a particular tribe as well.
Yeah. So.
What's next for Seguin?
Next for me, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying the space, enjoying the time. At the moment, I've got two books that should have been released 6 months ago, but because of commitments and other people's deadlines, it's been pushed back.
What's the book called?
It's called Alone With My Thoughts.
Alone With My Thoughts. And when do you think it will come out?
It will be out late this year.
Okay. Is it going to be funny? hard-hitting?
It's
what sort of genre?
It's going to be hard-hitting because of the subject we're touching, but at the same time we're going to have some poetry in there, some artwork from some students from other schools that's donated around the country. So it's a mixture of things, but it's made to show people that no one's a victim.
So Alone With My Thoughts, coming out soon by Sir Gwynton Slowly. How can our listeners connect with you, Gwynton?
It's easy to get in contact with me. I'm on all social network sites. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. It's just Gwynton Slowly at Facebook, Gwynton Slowly at Twitter.
Such a unique name that nobody can have it.
So. Well, it's funny you say that. There's a lot of Gwyntons, but you won't find another Gwynton Slowly, but there is a lot of Gwyntons around the world.
And what are your top three tips for the for people, whether they're starting a business, whether they're at a crossroads, you know, a junk, you know, there's a place where they're not quite sure which way to go, or they just have a troubled past? What would you, top three things that you'd say to them?
Confidence, first of all.
Very important, of course.
Make sure you master your brief.
Master your brief.
And when I say master your brief is, understand what you're doing, why you want to do it.
Okay.
Before you even start. And make sure that what you're doing, you enjoy doing it.
Okay.
If you're just doing it for money, it's going to fail.
Okay. And must believe in yourself, so confidence. But not everybody's born with that. How do you get it?
It's within all of us, and it's about trusting in yourself. Once we start trusting in ourselves, then we can't go wrong. And that's what I said in the original bit, surround yourself with positive people.
That is true.
Yeah, because then you'll be pushing each other to become the greatest. Friendly competition, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. That's great. Well, yeah. Gwynton, this has been a short sprint to do with your life. I'm grateful that you found the time. We've been trying to do this. We've been having near misses for the last month or so. We've done it. Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best. And until next time, keep smiling and always all good.